Super. Thank you. Okay, please take your seats. Thank you, band. Thank you, everyone who serves, actually. Thank you for who you are. Yeah? It's good to appreciate one another, isn't it? Including this young man who's coming bringing this stuff. Thank you. That was a guy who just wolf whistled in, by the way. How you doing? Very good. Everyone warm enough? Good. That's great. Thank you very much. Excellent. Okay, so my plan this morning is to bring some thoughts from a passage of Scripture which is found in the New Testament. Everyone say Matthew. So last time I stood on this platform, I spoke to you from Matthew 28. And it was the whole thing of us being a people who are to make disciples who make disciples. Do you remember? And about who we are and what we're about and where we're going. And I started to look at Matthew 28 again. And it's the whole story there of course, lots in there. But particularly the part where it speaks about the resurrection early on in the chapter. And I didn't want to particularly bring you another talk on the resurrection this morning, but I wanted to go behind the curtain of Matthew 28. And so I wanted to look at that. There's so much in there, and of course there is the narrative, you know, of the resurrection, and what an incredible story and a great story of hope. But I wanted to go behind the curtain and kind of have a look in there. And as I was reading just a week or two ago, I started to discover one or two things. So I'm going to share those with you. Is that okay? Yeah. Very good. I'm glad you said yes. And what I want to do, I just want to read through the first few verses and maybe just bring some thoughts that maybe you'd already thought about, but I hadn't, and just bring them to you as a way of encouragement. Hopefully will stimulate you, encourage you, challenge you, invite you, all the above. And kind of that's where we are today. So Matthew chapter 28, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Let me start by reading verse 1. How many know that would be a good idea? So listen carefully to the story. Chapter 28, verse 1 says this. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. I want to stop there, and I want you to hear the verse again. It says, on that day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. And the first thing I want you to see as part of this story, in this narrative this morning, is the fact that in this story, there is Mary Magdalene. Everyone heard of Mary Magdalene? There is Mary Magdalene and what's termed the other Mary. Did you get that? So there's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And my question immediately, not that any of you guys would ever want to be called Mary anyway, but you kind of get where I'm going with this. The question is, how would you like to be known or called the other Mary? Have you ever thought about that? How would you like to be called the other Mary? You see, the other Mary in this scripture, she is actually Mary, the mother of James. She is Mary of Clopas. But there is no mention of that in this particular story. Now, here's my point about this verse. There's always another Mary in the story. I want you to hear me. There is always another Mary in the story. So she carried the same name as the other one. She had equal identity to the other Mary. But in this picture, she was very much in the background. Are you seeing what I'm saying? She was very much in the background. And I want to say this. The other Mary, everyone say the other one. The other Mary was as important a part of the picture, but she wasn't part of the limelight. Hear me this morning. My simple question to you today is this. Are you prepared to be, and are you cool with being the other Mary? Are you okay with being the other Mary? You see, let me tell you something about other Marys. Other Marys are people who aren't limelight people, but they are essential components to both the picture and the journey that we're on. You see, the other Mary is usually the person who is in the background creating the story. How many know we have plenty of people like that? They are usually people who are behind the curtain, so to speak. And I just wanted to declare and make it known this morning and appreciate the fact that as TCC, as today's community church and this community, we would not exist without the other Mary. Hear me today. It is a time to show appreciation to the other Mary. And there are so many other Marys in this community, in this church community, not only women but men who stand behind the curtain, who are part of the story, who are an essential part of the picture, who you may never see, but they are equal. They are people who need to be both inspired and appreciated as the other Mary. They may not carry the limelight. They may not be people who you will ever see stood on this stage, unless it's like the guys who came up this morning for baptism, shaking probably in their boots. You will probably never see them up here, but they actually create the story behind the curtain. And I think it's good to appreciate those people, don't you? Why don't you do that right now? So many other Marys in our church community. Let me say one other thing before I move to verse 2. We better quickly move on. But let me just make another note here. In my experience, I've understood this, and you may be the same, that we talked and sung about seasons this morning. There are seasons for all of us. There are seasons of being Mary of Magdala, which is who Mary Magdalene was. There are seasons of being Mary of Magdala, and there are seasons of being Mary of Clopas. There are times that we have been in the limelight, and today, by the nature of who we are or what we're involved in this season, we are no longer in the limelight. And I just wanted it to make it clear and to encourage you that limelight and background are both in the picture. That it's not a case of, well, you know, I used to have this ministry and now I don't. You know what? God has called us to be ministers. In whatever season we're in, whatever situation we're in. So there is limelight and there is background. But either way, you are still in the picture and you are still part of the integral journey that we're all on together. Verse 2-4. Suddenly the Bible says, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Imagine this. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. I'm conscious here, just a very quick comment about these verses before I move on to verse 5. I'm conscious that as we've read this narrative and as we are sharing this narrative together, that this was the early hours of the morning. This wasn't the middle of the day. I reckon, based on what I'm reading here, if their day started in the sixth hour at 6 o'clock in the morning, in the early hours of the morning, this is going to be 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark. And the thing that surprised me, and the thing that shocked me, and the thing that enlightened me, and the thing that inspired me when I read this, in the fact that there was an earthquake, an angel came down, rolled the stone away, did all the stuff that we know for this incredible story. All this happened without us doing anything. Come on. How many know we've got a responsibility in the kingdom of God? This isn't about us not being the other Mary or Mary Magdalene or whatever Mary you want to be known as. This is not about not doing or being our responsibility. But this is understanding that in every situation in your life, God is on it. God is on it. If nothing else I want to say this morning, it's this. God is on it. He is on it. And it all happened without man doing anything. It's not like that they made up the story that the disciples came along and they rolled the stone away. Man had nothing to do with it. God took care of it all on his own. Can you believe it? And I want to say, whatever your situation is at this time, God is on it. He's doing stuff that you don't even know about whilst you're in bed. Whilst the early hours of the morning and you're snoring and getting kicked for snoring, God is on it. God is dealing with some stuff in the dark. God is dealing with some stuff without your help. And in the Bible, we read many stories where we try to help God out. But actually, God is quite capable of doing some stuff on his own. And the sovereign Lord is dealing with some stuff. The sovereign Lord is over some stuff. And understand that we are in the middle of it, and he uses us, and rightly so. But there are some things that God doesn't expect you to do, but he's doing on your behalf. I want you to understand that this morning. Is this okay? Okay, we move on. Let's read another verse. Verse 5. Through to 7, we carry on with the narrative. Then the angel spoke to the woman. So here we are, Mary, show up, and he's the angel. And the angel spoke to the woman, said this, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here." Imagine that. How would you have felt at that moment? "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Now I love this, because when you read the whole story, you see that Mary and Mary, they set off early on Sunday morning to visit the tomb, the Bible says. That's the story. They went to visit the tomb. And I kind of saw it like this, and here's my observation. They arrived to see the dead. That's what they went for. Do you know, I think we're so often like that. We arrive to see the dead. We, if anything, we, you know, not all of us are like this, but many of us, we kind of go negative first. In any situation we go into, we kind of think the worst. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. How do you know it's not happened? And we fear for the worst. We believe for the worst. We expect the worst. And they went because they'd heard, oh, Jesus has died, obviously, so we're going to visit the dead. We often expect the worst. But they went to see the dead, but guess what? There was life where they thought there was death. And I want you to see that. I want you to pick up on that this morning. There was life where they thought there was death. And here's my question. And these are just to stimulate thoughts. I'm not going to fill this out too much this morning. We haven't got time for that. I want you to fill that out. I'm sure you can, in the scenario of your own walk and your own life and your own family and your own business and your own work and all of that stuff. But here's my question. What have you given up on that is actually still breathing? What have you given up on that is actually still breathing? What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about here an idea. An idea that you had. You know, you thought it was dead a long time ago, but actually it might be still breathing. Why not take another look? Why not go back to that idea, take another look? For some of you, maybe a belief. Maybe a belief about yourself. Maybe a belief about something. Maybe a belief about someone else. Something that you thought had gone. Something that you thought was dead and buried, but actually is still breathing. How about for some of you, maybe a dream? Some of you think it's dead, but actually it's still breathing. A relationship maybe that you thought had gone in the long past, but the reality is it's still breathing. I had an email this week, which isn't unusual. It's one of those that when you go on a holiday and you come back and you've 3,000 emails, we get a lot of emails. And I got this email this week. And this email came from a gentleman who used to belong to this church community eons ago. Many, many years ago. And the email, when I looked at the email and I looked at who it was from, it brought back so many memories because I recognized the name immediately. And I recognized this as a man who was part of our church community, a Jesus follower, a Jesus lover. And he, as he put on his email, that his faith lapsed, that he got involved in some stuff and some stuff that really he would say that wasn't the greatest stuff and decisions that he made. And he got away from God and he left the church community and we didn't see him, and his name would pop up now and again over the years through some relations that he has that I know and would talk about this person. And but basically this email this week was an email of thanks to our church community, and this is because of recent times, in as he is beginning to age somewhat and in ailing health, he began to go onto our website and click onto the podcast. And he said, I want you to thank the team who minister and lead at today's community church, because through those podcasts, I have found my way back to God. Oh, wow. And you know, here I am, guys, I'm talking about someone who was part of this community 40-odd years ago and just been estranged from God. And yet, the power, even across the airwaves or through the internet, of the Word of God coming into someone's life and just shaking them up, stirring them up, inspiring them, bringing healing for brokenness is awesome. And so all the guys who've been on the podcast, thank you. Because we never know the power. You know, sometimes we ask questions, is it worth putting the podcast on? Do the people really engage? There are people listening to our podcast you wouldn't believe. And when I hear stories like that of people that have come right through and come back to God because some of the stuff that we say, I think that's worth saying. And if you're listening on the podcast today, my friend, God bless you. Let me carry on reading here. Okay, an important thing. Verse 8, I believe we're up to. It says, the women, so they've heard what the angels had. It says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to get the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. As I was behind the curtain in this narrative, I saw something that just caught my attention and want to bring it to your attention. As I was reading verse 8, I read this: the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. I thought that was strange. They were very frightened, but they were also filled with great joy. How do those two things happen together? That you can be frightened, you can be scared, and yet there's something, another emotion that's at the side of that all at the same time. And here's the question that I wanted to pose based on what I read on that morning. And it's this: what scares you but excites you all at the same time? What scares you but excites you all at the same time? I asked some other people that question this week, and there were all kinds of answers that came back. What scares you and what excites you all at the time? Some of those things are unrepeatable in a public forum. From people that you would expect different of. So I'm not going to mention those, but I would like to say that they were the funniest. So I asked some people, what scares you but excites you all at the same time? Someone said, a roller coaster. Fair enough. What scares you but excites you all at the same time? Paying a bill towards a holiday. What scares you, excites you at the same time? Getting married. I thought about this one. What scares me and excites me all at the same time? My wife. Someone else said, what scares you, what and excites you all at the same time? Giving birth. Who'd concur with that? If you're the men, you'd say watching the birth, probably. Someone else said, the thing that scares me and excites me all at the same time is ordering food at a restaurant in case you've ordered wrong. Just get food envy like the rest of us if that happens. What scares you, excites you all at the same time? The future, someone said. Change, said another. I thought it was a really interesting answer. The thing that scares me and excites me all at the time, someone said, is legacy and succession planning. Wow. Someone else texted me and said, what scares me and excites me all at the same time is taking a big risk. Someone else said, what excites them and frightens them, scares them at the same time, is telling people about God. You may relate to some of these. I thought about me, Mr. Carnal. You know, I'm like, it got to do with God, really. The thing that really scared me and excited me all at the same time was when I bought my first house at auction. That was very scary, but really exciting all at the same time. But then I think as I bring this to a close this morning, I think, what about for God? What about for Jesus? You know, we can all do stuff that scares us and excites us at the same time, that's maybe about us or things that we've done or things we like to experience or things that we like to build or enterprise that we like to create. And there's a bit of scared going on there, but there's some real excitement of what we could create, and all of that stuff is well and good. But what about for God? What about, and I just want to put this thought in your head, why not enter something into your life that in relation to God and His kingdom scares you a bit, but excites you all at the same time? Well, why don't you think about strategically and intentionally putting something in there, entering something in within the purposes of God? And my encouragement to you in that this morning, young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what age you are, what at the minute is scaring you and exciting you all at the same time in relation to the kingdom of Jesus. You know, I think of young Grace that got up before to get baptized. And all their stories were incredible, but that's just a story of grace, actually. Grace's story in a story of grace. But the wonderful thing there is, I would say to you, Grace, do it scared. Yeah. Just do it scared. You know, you've heard that term. Some just say, just do it. Well, even if you've got to do it scared, I encourage you, do it scared. That's okay. Oh, there's no faith there. No, there's faith there. You can be scared and still have faith. You still feel a bit scared about something, but something that scares you and excites you all at the same time, I encourage you, do it scared. Is that okay? Yeah. And literally, just a couple of thoughts to finish off here before we pray. You see, in verse 7, we've already read it. As I read that verse, because, well, in fact, let me go back to it. Let me refresh your memory. Verse 7, this is when the angel saying to the women at the tomb and says to them, now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Good news. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And you will see him there. Remember what I've told you. As I read that verse, I thought this question, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in this? Where's Jesus in your situation? Where's Jesus in the plans that you've laid before him? Where's Jesus? We ask the question, where's Jesus? So many people say, where's Jesus in this? Let me tell you where Jesus is. Jesus is in Galilee. If you read the story, if you read the narrative, Jesus is in Galilee. And he says to the women, tell the guys to go to Galilee because that's where I am. And all I want to say in that is simply this. Jesus is in Galilee. You want to know where Jesus is in your situation? He's in Galilee. You know why? Because he's gone ahead of you. He's already there. We have to go. We have to journey to Galilee. He's already waiting there. He's like, come on, guys, I'm already here. Where are you, Jesus? Oh, I hope you're behind me. No, he's in front of you. He's already sorted some stuff. He's already made his way to Galilee. So in your situation, where's Jesus? He's in Galilee. Do you know what? The soundest advice we could have from the Bible this morning is that you make your way to Galilee. Verse 17, I love this. Because we've got to say good, bad, and ugly, and indifferent. And verse 17, which we haven't even read. Let me read it to you. It's when we come onto the Great Commission bit in this chapter, this narrative. Behind the curtain, here we go. When they saw him, this is the disciples. They've arrived in Galilee and they've seen Jesus, or they're on the way towards. They've seen Jesus. When they saw him, they worshipped him. How many know that would be a good thing to do? So we see Jesus and we worship him. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. What? Serious? After all the journey they'd been on together, the disciples and Jesus, made them fish, seen him walk on water, done all the miracles, done some incredible things and seen some incredible things. Here's Jesus risen from the dead, which he said he was going to do anyway. They go to him, they worship him, but you know what? It's like some of us on a Sunday morning, we've got our arms lifted and we're doubting. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not so sure whether you'll answer that prayer. But I'll keep my hands up because just for good luck. I mean, in Jesus' name. Thank you, David. I cannot believe that I read, they worshipped him and some of them doubted. Do you know what it can? It brings it back down to a bit of, down to earth a bit of what we're like. These guys have seen so much stuff. And you know, some of us have seen some good stuff as well and some bad stuff and some ugly stuff. Because we praise God in every season. Yeah. So we've seen some stuff. And how is it that all these guys could see Jesus himself, worship him, because that's what we do, I'm sure. If Jesus turned up, we'd worship him. Come on. No, we don't think we're too big not to worship Jesus. Come on, we're worshiping him. But I wonder what doubt there would be in our heart, on our lips. And here's the reality of where these guys were, some of them, even after his resurrection. And I just wanted to say this as we bow in prayer. I just wanted to say this. Don't doubt in the valley what you believed on the mountaintop. Don't doubt in the valley what you believed on the mountaintop. There was a reason that God showed you what he showed you on the mountaintop, so that when you were in the valley, you could hold on to the truth of what God said to you. So don't please doubt in the valley, because how many know when we get a word from God, when stuff's happening, when we've got our plans, when we're doing it scared, we kind of get into a valley sometimes. Valley experience, it is a season. Sometimes we're in a valley. But please hold on to the words that Jesus said in the valley that he told you on the mountaintop. Don't doubt in the valley what he shared with you on the mountaintop. That's the word that I want to bring. Let's bow in prayer. Come on, it's time. We went for a coffee and a chat and to encourage each other in the things of God. Don't you agree? But just before we do that, I just want to make an open invitation right now as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just for this moment. I'm not going to prolong this morning, but I want to ask, are there any people out there, you may be in for the first time today, you may have been coming around here for a while, and you say, do you know what, I'm not right with God. I watch the people here, and it's so obvious they have relationship with Jesus. They lift their hands to him like he exists. They sing incredible songs about him. They even are prepared to go in a big tub of water in front of everybody to say, I'm following Jesus. I'm going to obey what he says in my life. They are even prepared to do that. And I'm asking you, if you're out there and you don't know God and you say, today I'm going to get my act together with Jesus. I'm going to say yes to him. I'm going to come to him and say, God, will you forgive me? Would you cleanse me from all the stuff that's wrong in my life so that I can start to walk in liberty and freedom and without the weight of sin on my life? That's what I want. And I know there's some of you feel like that out there. If you feel like that, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to respond to me. If you feel like that and you're saying, Dave, would you pray? Would you say a prayer for us all? Because that's how I feel. I feel I just want to connect to God this morning. If that's you, would you lift your hand where you are? Just right across this hall. Just lift it high that I can see. Like I said, I'm not going to prolong this, but I want to give you that opportunity. Just lift it so I can see it. If not, we're going to pray together. That's you. Lift it high. Thank you to everyone out there. I'm looking for you. Anyone this morning? If not, we're going to stand. Come on, guys. Let's all stand together. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for your word, Lord God. I want to thank you for it in its simplicity. Thank you for that incredible chapter of Matthew 28, the resurrection life chapter. Thank you, Lord, that as we look behind the curtains, we can see all kinds of stuff going on that helps us. Lord, and I pray in the name of Jesus that as there are people here, Lord, who have identified in Jesus that there are some things that they want to do and to be, some things they want to create, I pray, Lord, that in that excitement and the fear and the scared bit that goes with it, Lord, that they'll do it scared. I pray, Lord, release in Jesus' name. Pray, Lord, that there'll come a heavy weight that will just be lifted. And, Lord, we won't get hoodwinked to think, oh, it's wrong, Lord, to feel a bit scared. No, God, we know it's wrong to be fearful, to carry fear in our lives, and we want faith where fear is. But, Lord, to do some stuff scared and to be bold and to go out while it excites us, Lord, I believe it's like a roller coaster. A spiritual roller coaster. That's what God's showing some of you right now. A spiritual roller coaster. You know, there's a time I used to go on roller coasters. I used to love them. And then my kids started to grow up and I took them on the waltzer. Most of you will know what the waltzer is. I took them on and I did a really brave face because I felt sick as a dog. And we're calling to the guy to go faster. And the kids are loving it and I'm feeling sick. I did everything not to throw up on them on the waltzer. And there came a point in my life where I thought, I've not got the stomach for this anymore. I can't do this. So when we went to Florida and went on all those rides, I watched the kids on them. And they were laughing at me because I wouldn't go on them. There are some things we've got to do scared. Some things, sometimes we think we haven't got the stomach for stuff anymore. We get to a certain age and we think, God, we've done some stuff for you. We've done some stuff, but God, we haven't got the stomach for it anymore. You know, I believe God wants to develop your stomach. I believe he wants to give you a new stomach. He wants you to stomach some stuff so that you can do some stuff for him in the kingdom of God. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will, Lord, just touch our lives. Lord, you'll encourage us, you'll inspire us, you'll do us good with all the stuff that we've heard. Lord, and I pray for people out there, Lord, who at this moment are saying yes to you, even as I pray. I pray that you will touch their lives and change them. Give us a great week this week, Lord, I pray. I pray that some of the stuff that we hear, we will enact in our life, even doing it scared. We will make a decision to follow some stuff through, Lord, that we thought was dead but is still breathing. All the stuff that we've heard, Lord, and we'll recognize that even when we're asleep in bed, you're sorting some stuff because you're on our case and you're on the case and you are sovereign, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.